Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
There are seemingly things that go bump in the night that we just cannot explain. Have you ever lived in a haunted house? Perhaps visited a haunted graveyard? Well, these subscribers claim they have. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. It's good to see you back for another episode. Today, I'm going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true unexplained stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's an unexplained story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp. And it's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, be sure to hit that like button, be sure to subscribe if you haven't, and get ready for some creepy as hell and unexplained horror stories. I want to start out by saying that these are as true as I can remember them from being a child. I listen to your videos as often as they come out and feel as though I'd like to share my own experiences. I grew up in a small town called Seven Oaks in the southeast of England, and my house was haunted. I always felt like I was being watched while in that house, and whenever I felt like I was being watched, I would always get a feeling of exactly where I was being watched from. My grandmother, who would always say don't worry about it, or just seemed to not care too much, she would later tell me, is because she knew what was happening and was not able to do a single thing about it. So my grandmother got a new phone when they started to come with a camera. I was playing with it and snapped a photo of my grandmother while she was unaware. In the photo, there was a human-shaped white figure with no visible features behind her. I was playing on my Nintendo 64 and went downstairs for some reason that I cannot remember. When I came back upstairs, this big heavy desk of drawers was placed in front of the door and was just blocking the way. It took a lot of pushing to get it open and to move. The thing is, we didn't hear anything move at all, and the room was on the top floor of a two-story house. Whenever I had to go downstairs at night, I would run up them feeling a little bit panicked, and I would, in my mind, see a milky white thin man in a black hooded robe looking up the stairs, sometimes holding out his hand like he wanted to grab me. Childhood imagination, right? Well, my mother told me that she sometimes gets sleep paralysis, and one time she saw a figure that resembled what I was staring at, with a twisted, angry expression on its face. I didn't, to my knowledge, ever tell her about the thing that I saw on the stairs. The being seemed to like classical music as well, because whenever a radio would turn on for no reason, it would be playing classical music. And no, not one person in that house listened to classical music. I would wake up with cold chills if I slept on the right side of my room, but never the left side of the room. I had two beds in my room, as one was when family would come stay over, and honestly, my mother thought it was best not to waste a perfectly good mattress in a frame. Now, not many people seemed to believe me on this one, but it happened. I had a bracelet, and it was on my wrist, and I wanted to see if something would happen if I rested with my head on my bicep and my wrist it was in the air. Well, the bracelet began spinning around my wrist, then it stopped, and I noped the heck out of there. I did not try that out again. The weirdest one of all was when I walked into my grandmother's room just to check on her and see if she was okay. I heard what I can only describe as a howl from a pack of wolves. It was loud, and my grandmother heard it too. She said don't worry about it. Many other strange things happened while I lived there. There were lights in the sky, my sister's dead cats meowing being heard from outside, and it was dead for many months. Tiny stones being thrown and shadows being seen walking across the top floor hallway past bedroom doors. I have had creepy experiences since moving out, and my family has, you know, a few occurrences now, but I am happy I do not personally live there anymore. I am Fudgy, and I am 17, turning 18 years old on February 14th. So, my parents are migrant workers. We go upstate every year to work in the fields. But there's this one location I'll never forget. It's in Illinois. I can't remember the name of the town, but it used to be an Air Force base. Like I said earlier, my parents are migrant workers, and they decided to take the whole family with them along and two other families. I think I was about 4 years old. Now, because we were working in the fields, we didn't want to waste money on a hotel, so we decided to stay in an old abandoned hospital. Other migrant workers lived there too. It was a three-story building. Most lights would not work, the air conditioning was horrible, and the bathrooms did not have hot water. It was safe to say, the building had a lot of problems. The room we would be living in was very small, about the size of a small apartment. It had a kitchen, four beds, and one sofa. The sofa was covering two main doors which had foil on the windows and was taped so we could not look inside. My dad looked at me and my cousins, who were around the same age as me. They were both two boys, and my dad said, "Don't look through those windows." I looked at him confused as they all left for work, leaving me and my cousins with my older brother. After a few hours, we were all sitting on the sofa, eating. I decided to look through the office window. I tore off a little hole so I could see through. At first, I just saw a long white hallway. I didn't think much of it and thought my dad was just trying to scare us. So I looked again and, right there, I saw what looked like a doctor. He had brown hair, was thin, a twisted smile on his face, like it was ear to ear. I felt my heart sink to my stomach and backed away very slowly, not really knowing what my next move would be. I felt like I was going to vomit. I told my brother, but he just did not believe me. I once had a babysitter who lived with her younger sister there. She was always very nice and gave us snacks, but something about her just did not feel right. One day when I was playing, she got mad for whatever reason, grabbed me by my hair, and dragged me into a small closet. I remember getting up and banging on the door for her to let me out, screaming and crying. She kept me in there for like an hour or so. I never went back to that babysitter after that. After all those years, I decided to research it. I could not find anything about it being a hospital. The only thing that comes up is that it was a migrant camp, and it closed. But I could not find when it did. I am planning on going back there one day to look through those doors again. Even to this day, that twisted smile gives me chills down my spine. This is the only experience I have ever had that to this day I cannot rationally explain. It is my first time writing it down, so I hope my descriptions are not too confusing. It was in 2017, and at the time I had just graduated from university and was living alone in a studio apartment in South Yorkshire, England. The studio was quite small, and the layout of the room is very relevant to the story. It was a long rectangular room, one end being the front door and the other a huge window overlooking the city center, with my bed right under it. Where my bed ended, on the left wall, I had a desk, and next to it was a huge wardrobe that was as tall as I was. Opposite this, on the right wall from where my bed ended, started the kitchen setup, and the bathroom took the rest of the space. Basically, I can sort of see the front door from my bed, but the part of the corridor that went from the front door to the inside of the room where the desk and the kitchen were obscured by the huge wardrobe. I never really used the lights in the flat, as they were too bright for me. So I had a few fairy lights hung up around my bed, and I would turn them on at night. On this evening, I had just finished showering. It was summer, so I had the heating off, and as it was an electric radiator, I had made sure it was unplugged. I was, and still am, a bit paranoid about unused sockets, so I make sure I switch them off if I'm not using them. This radiator sat on the wall that is obscured by my wardrobe. Anyways, as I sat on my bed, fairy lights on behind me, had left my shower door open, which was in front of me, with the faint yellow light coming from the shower into the corridor diagonal from where I was sat. I was drying my hair with a towel, when suddenly, from behind my wardrobe, I saw a blinding blue light. It was so strong and bright, it illuminated my kitchen. It really spooked me, and I froze. There was no sound. It just flashed a few times, bright, and it disappeared as fast as it happened. I immediately called my friend, as for some reason, I was too scared to look behind my wardrobe for the source of the light. I was baffled, as there was nothing that could cause such a bright light. No source other than my unplugged radiator and a socket that was completely turned off. From my bed, I couldn't see what caused the light directly as my wardrobe was in the way. My friend stayed with me on the phone, joking around, trying to calm me down as I crept around the corner, expecting to see a blacked out wall, thinking maybe it was the plug circuit freaking out or something. I knew that was not possible, though. There would be a fire or smoke or something. The plug was off, as I had left it, and there were no marks on the wall. Nothing that can indicate it was electricity that caused it. No source for the light. Nothing. As I told my story to friends, they tried to pin it on lights from the window, which had its thick blinds down at the time. Plus, I was on the fifth floor, opposite an abandoned building. So honestly, there was no direct light ever from the window other than the sunlight during the day. And also, the window was behind me, while this light came from within the room, in front of me. Some told me it was probably my bathroom light flickering, but that light was visible diagonally in front of me. It was yellow and very dim, and I'm not daft to be able to distinguish two different light sources. This came from the side. To this day, I do not know what this blinding light was. I tried looking if others had experienced such flashes of light in their rooms, but most people talk about orbs, which is not exactly what I experienced. The only way I can describe it is that it looked like, from my angle, like those effects you see in sci-fi movies when portals are opened. There is a flickering blue light and then it disappears. I'm not saying it was such a thing. I am just trying to describe it, really. Either way, it never happened again, and part of me regrets not looking behind my wardrobe. I guess I will never truly know. But I'd be interested to hear if anyone else has had any unexplained sudden lights in their bedrooms. This is a true story from when I was 12, all the way back in 2002. My friend AJ and I decided to go over to our friend Megan's house. Her friend Allie was also there. So, we went swimming and having fun. A normal day in July for us Pennsylvanians. After swimming, we went hanging out in Megan's room, and I saw that she had an unopened Ouija board. I had never played with one, and neither had they. I was always told by my mother not to play with one because they can lead to demonic infestation and negative energy all around you. However, being a curious kid, I wanted to see if it really worked. So we got it out, and Megan asked us who we should try and contact. Allie brought up that her friend down the street had just lost her older brother to suicide by hanging. His name was Josh. So, we figured we would try to contact him. None of us were worried about starting because, you know, this was the middle of the day and it was sunny. What could go wrong? We started out all of our hands on the planchette, and while going in circles, we were trying to contact Josh. At first, nothing happened. We waited for a little and then tried again. Immediately this time it started moving and greeted us with a hello. We asked if this was Josh. It said yes. We then asked a series of questions. If I'm honest, I cannot really remember exactly what we asked. But I do remember, with each answer, the planchette started moving faster and more violent. We asked where it was at, and it spelled out the dog. There was no dog in the room. However, she had two dogs downstairs. After it started spelling out dog, it started spinning fast, and I suggested we all take our hands off at the same time and see what happens. As we did this, it kept moving for 4 or 5 seconds before stopping. That freaked us all out, so we decided to say goodbye. However, when we opened the door to go out of Megan's room, a big stuffed animal dog was blocking the way. We all froze and looked at each other like, what the heck? AJ and I left, and we thought that was that. 2 days later, Megan called me and said some strange things had been happening in her house, especially with her one dog, Oreo. He was always a nice dog, but suddenly, he was very mean. Megan also said over the past 2 days, every time she got out of the shower, Oreo would be in her room watching her get dressed. Within 1 week after the Ouija board incident, the dog had bitten her mom, dad, brother, and Snyder, the bigger dog they had. He also broke through an electric fence 4 times. After putting him down, she said things began to move frequently in the house on their own, and their whole family felt as if they were constantly being watched. Megan told them about what happened, and they had a blessing done in the house, and after that, they threw away the board. From what I can remember, everything seemingly went back to normal after that.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This happened back in 2010 on Thanksgiving. For reference, I am a male, and I was 20 years old and had transferred to a university in Northern California to pursue a degree in parks and recreation. This was the first time in my young life I had ever been away from my family for the holidays, so it was a bit different. However, it was not all that bad. I had my roommates and some other friends I had met, and we decided on having a potluck at our dorm. Now, what should have been an evening of fun, food and games would start off with something quite bizarre. You see, before we began dinner, which was being prepared by my roommate Damien and his girlfriend Samantha, I wanted to go for a run around campus. Hands up for those listening who like to work out before huge meals. Anyway, hopefully it is not just me and I'm not some weirdo. Anyways, the sun had just set over the horizon when I put on my running shoes and advised my friends I would be back in about 45 minutes or so. I proceed to head down the flight of stairs. We were on the 3rd floor of the dorm, by the way, and I began heading north, toward the other side of the campus. Now when I got there, I proceeded to do 2 laps around the entire school. In total, it took me about 30 minutes, a little faster than I expected. The last 10 minutes were a cool down. Now remember, I crossed the street, since our university is in the middle of downtown, and I walked over to a convenience store. I recall my friend Damien asking if I could go and pick up some extra plastic cups and plates. I give him a call, and he asks if I could also bring some napkins. I agreed, and I make the quick purchases. But here's when things would change. When I exit the convenience store, and I am waiting at the streetlight, enjoying the nice quiet evening, I get approached from my left. I looked for just a moment, and it was just a homeless man. I assumed he was going to ask me for money, and I was even prepared to hand him $2 of change I had left over, you know, to spread some positivity and support. But I went cold when the man leaned in my ear and gave me the creepiest voice I'd ever heard. "Give me your wallet and your phone. Don't make any sudden movements." I remember standing there, thinking, was this some sort of joke? But then I saw it. I looked down for a moment, and I could see a sharp object. A knife. My fight or flight response immediately took into effect, but I tried to play it cool. Since he is literally within lunging distance, "Okay, let me grab them. Give me a second." The man lets out a chuckle and tells me not to make any sudden movements again, before backing up ever so slightly, presumably to allow me to reach into my pockets and give him my phone and wallet. This distance, which might have been maybe 4 or 5 inches, was enough of a distance where I felt comfortable in running and trying to get away from him. Just so you know, I have no idea how fast this man is. I have always been a runner myself, but you just never know. In one quick motion, I hurl the bag of cups, napkins, and plates right at his face, and with this distraction, booked it across the street. Mind you, the signal to cross had not come just yet, and there were cars still driving through the intersection. Man, looking back, I always despised how long that thing took. Anyways, I did not get hit, thank goodness. I might have angered some drivers, but hey, at least it beats being mugged. I continued toward the campus and looked back for a moment. I see the homeless man standing at the streetlight with a look of defeat. We had this 5-second stare down before finally he put his hands in his pockets and turned to walk in the other direction. I felt a sigh of relief come over me, but I was not safe yet. I booked it all the way back to the dorm, which required a fob key to enter the building, and it's not until I was in the lobby that I could finally catch my breath. A couple of students who had just gotten off the elevator saw me and asked what was wrong, and why I looked pale as a ghost. I told them what happened, and they agreed I had experienced something profoundly disturbing. Eventually, I caught my breath, and I called the campus police so that I could provide them with details of what had just occurred. They told me they would get into contact with the police department, but I never found out if they ever caught the guy or not. By the way, the entire campus sent out a text message telling students to remain in lockdown, but it was lifted 30 minutes later. I am still not sure if they ever caught the guy or not. I surely didn't see him again, and there doesn't seem to be any more reports of people being mugged. As for the paper plates, cups, and napkins, we ended up getting some from our neighbors. The rest of the evening went by as normal, albeit with quite a scare. Hi, Swamp Dweller. I love the channel. It has become a part of my regular routine to listen to stories while I get ready for work. I figured I would share the best story I have got. I was working in an old Pantages theater in Central California. Every theater I have been in has a certain otherworldly feeling to it in the back areas. This 1920s theater was no exception. As an event manager, part of my job was to shut down everything after the show. Usually, this meant extremely late nights and I spent a lot of time alone there. Strange things happened, but I never felt uncomfortable. Guests would occasionally make comments on seeing things like people in the mirrors that were not there. Once I was complimented on the dedication to the historical accuracy of the bathroom attendant's costume. There was no bathroom attendant, and the guests were in an unauthorized area when they experienced it. For the show I was locking up from when this happened, we had the orchestra pit open, which is basically a large hole in the stage. This pit is about 12 to 15 foot drop on the chairs and equipment. To turn off the lights, you had to shut everything down at a panel on the stage. This puts you in pitch dark, even during daytime, with a long walk downstairs, by the open orchestra pit, up to the house aisle, and out to the theater front doors and gates. Normally, I had high-power flashlights on me, but I had forgotten it this day. This was before smartphones, so I just had a dim keychain light. No big deal, I guess. Yeah, I have made this trick thousands of times before with no woes. I turn the lights off, head for the door, and as I mentioned, to get out you must walk down the stage stairs next to the orchestra pit. I hit a stair wrong and lost my balance, falling towards the open orchestra pit. This was bad news. I was the last one in the theater. If I fell and was hurt, which I would have been, it would have taken who knows how long for anyone to find me. It was a long fall in the chairs, mic stands, and other equipment. All around a bad situation for me. As soon as I trip, I feel a strong, large hand grab my upper right arm and pull me back away from the pit. I cannot remember if it was cold or anything like that. I was honestly a little too panicked to notice anything other than the fact that I was not falling, and I did not understand why. When these things first happen, the paranormal is not my go-to explanation. Now, I am relatively open-minded, but there is usually the mundane explanation for most weirdness. I do not think paranormal activity unless there is absolutely no other explanation. I am telling you, there was no other explanation I could come up with. I tried. Not my jacket, not getting caught on something. It was a hand, 4 fingers and a thumb around my arm with enough force to make me stand back up. I did not know what else to do but say thank you. After that, I said morning and goodbye every day. I let them know when I was leaving and that they were in charge after I was gone, and to watch the place while I was gone. This incident made me a believer. There was a lot of activity in that theater, lights being turned on and off, doors being locked, never hostile and usually helpful. Later, I learned that one of the caretakers had died of a heart attack there, so maybe that was who helped me. That building had a certain magic to it, and I can see something wanting to stay there for eternity. I think there were a lot of beings that were there, so who knows? I lost my job there during the financial housing crash. Well, everyone there did. I think they might have reopened it, but I have since moved out of state. But even now, years later, sometimes I think about the time a ghost saved me, and I hope that whoever was there is all right and keeping an eye on things in the theater. It all started when I was about 8 back in Vernon, Florida, where I used to roam the woods on our 25 acres of land. I would hear a girl calling my name from the woods, but I could never tell how deep the voice was coming from. So, I was smart enough to never follow it, and after a few weeks, that stopped and I never heard it again. The second experience I had was in Houston, Texas when I was about 15 years old. I woke up out of a dead sleep while laying in the living room. What I woke to was a dark figure standing in the hallway. From what I could tell, he was looking at me, but not moving an inch. The man honestly looked like Abraham Lincoln with a top hat on, and as I stayed there frozen, he slowly walked away, causing me to jump up and turn the lights on, making sure no one was in the house since I lived with my mother and little sister only, and I knew this was not them. With no one in sight, I went back to sleep as if nothing had happened, only to tell my mother the next day. The part that truly scares me the most is that she turned pale white and said, as a child she witnessed the same thing but multiple times over a course of 3 years. We believe this man was her uncle who molested my 2 great aunts and possibly my grandfather as well. He never mentioned anything about it, but we suspect it happened. The first time I ever witnessed something with someone was with my old friends Mark and Wolfgang. So I went to high school with them. One weekend, we all decided to head to Bear Creek Park after hearing about a lost cemetery in the woods. We are pulling up to Patterson Road off of North Eldridge with Wolfgang driving me in the passenger seat and Mark in the back with 2 other friends. Wolfgang and I are talking to each other as we turn onto Patterson's Road when we see a lady on the road and hit her. Everyone felt the bump, but only me and my friend who was driving witnessed it. He slams on the brakes and we both turn around shocked as our other friends look at us like we are playing a prank. He asked me, "Did I see that?" I said, "Yes, dude, you hit somebody." Nobody was behind us on the road or on the side, so we drove off the road to check if the car was damaged, and there was not even a scratch. We decided that we wanted to smoke the joint we brought, so we head down the road to the bridge where the rumor is, if you shut off your car, you can hear tapping on the glass. This is when Wolfgang starts messing with us and keeps tapping a piece of plastic, trying to freak us out, which ultimately it did, until we hear a bang on the hood. That is when we decide to get the heck out of there. But the car, for whatever reason, would not start, and our friends in the back start really freaking out, saying they can see somebody in the woods, less than 10 feet away from us. After 3 to 4 dead turns of the key, the car finally starts, and we sped out of there like a bat out of hell. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. I myself grew up in a haunted cabin that was well over 200 years old, saw a lot of weird things myself in that cabin. I've even shared some of those stories on this channel. If you guys have any unexplained stories that you'd like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it really helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in its algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you want to support the swamp outside of hitting that subscribe button and that like button, maybe check out our merch store. I have mugs, face masks, hoodies, and t-shirts all for sale over there. I even have an exclusive Swamp Dweller Christmas design being sold only until New Year's Day, so definitely get one before they're gone forever. If you're on the go and want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you go, you can download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. I would love to know, at the very end here, what story was your favorite tonight? I'd have to say that second one was a very interesting one to me. From my own experiences, it kind of just reminds me of a few things I saw when I was younger. I would also love to know if any of you guys have ever experienced anything that you can't explain. Comment that down below. I love getting to know you guys more. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.